This is Kevin Burke from the Department of Kinesiology, Leisure, and Sports Sciences at East Tennessee State University. Thanks for joining Burke on Mayberry. Today we're talking about the episode that aired on January the 9th, 1961, known as The Horse Trader. It was written by Jack Ellenson and Charles Stewart and directed by Bob Sweeney. This is one of the few episodes where you see Andy Griffith just being outright dishonest in this episode. So, again, it's sort of a change of pace in one sense. You do see Andy sort of exaggerating in other episodes, but this one he just flat out tells some lies and Barney gets upset about it. It's a really funny little episode. It starts out with basically Opie makes an exchange for to a friend of him, gave away his brand new cat pistol in exchange for licorice seeds. Well, of course, there's no such thing as licorice seeds. Opie plants the seeds and realizes that he's been swindled, and so Opie decides what he's going to do is give the seeds to Jerry Parker for a pair of roller skates, which brings up a very interesting thing about roller skates. You know, why did Opie want roller skates? Because in just a few episodes ago, the Christmas story, Ben Weaver gave him a pair of roller skates, so maybe he wanted a couple pair. Who knows? Of course, that's not explained. Maybe he did wear them out in a hurry, as suggested by the definitive Andy Griffith Show reference book written by Dale Robinson and David Fernandez. But again, it's what Opie plans to do, and there's a nice scene where Andy talks about the golden rule with Opie and tells him that he shouldn't trade for those roller skates, that it would be dishonest, and that honesty is always the best policy. Well, as the episode moves along, it turns out that the town of Mayberry has an old cannon that they want to get rid of, and a good part of the first of the episode is Barney really talks about how he wants to vote to keep the cannon. And again, they do a nice little scene where everybody votes, and Barney wouldn't vote against it because he said, "I didn't want to be labeled as a troublemaker." So anyway, once they decide to get rid of the cannon, and they're going to get a plaque from a Milford Phillips to take its place, the Mayor Pike assigns Andy and Barney the duty of selling the cannon. And here's where you see Andy and Barney going door to door and going to stores and trying to sell the cannon. You even see a funny scene where Andy tries to talk Barney into buying the cannon. So again, they have no luck with it. And then finally, they're in the drugstore when a Mr. Mason comes in. And Mr. Mason offers them $175. Now, that seems a lot for an old cannon at that time, but it's because of the story that Andy makes up to Mr. Ralph Mason. And what he tells him is he tells Mr. Mason that it fired the first shot of the Civil War, and that Teddy Roosevelt used it when he charged up San Juan Hill, and even shows him the initials of TR, and he says that stands for Teddy Roosevelt, and of course everybody in Mayberry knew that those were scratched in by nail by a local Mayberryan named Tracy Rupert. So again, Mr. Mason agrees to buy the cannon for $175, and Andy calls it horse trading, hence the name of the episode. Well, Opie was there and witnessed all this horse trading, basically the lies that Andy Griffith was making up to sell the cannon. So he goes, and later on, and Andy notices that Opie has roller skates on. He asks him how he get it. He said, "Did you sell him the liquor seeds?" He says, "No." He said, "Well, how did you get the roller skates?" And he said, basically what Opie did is Opie took him took a button that Andy had given him, an old cufflink, and told his friend Jerry Parker that this was a button off General George Washington's uniform. So Andy starts having a talk with Opie about being dishonest, and basically Opie talks back, not in a negative way, but he lets his father know, "You know what, you did the same thing I did. I think we both broke the golden rule." And so Andy realizes that, and you have a nice little near the end of the episode where Andy comes in and Mr. Mason is there. Barney's at the counter drinking root beers, and that's going to be our trivia question today. And of course, Ellie's behind the counter, and Andy does sort of some backwards auctioning for it. They drop the price down to $30 to buy the cannon, and then finally Andy realizes that the gentleman's going to need another $10 to move the cannon, so he drops the price to $20 to sell the cannon to Mr. Mason. And of course, Eleanor Donahue, who plays Ellie, and Don Knotts as Barney Fife, were very happy to see Andy be honest and sell the cannon at a reasonable price. This episode, at the end of this episode, is one you don't see much on television because they added more and more commercials. But it's really funny where Ellie comes into the courthouse and has a letter or a wire that basically says that the cannon was sold to Milford Phillips. Now, again, that was the gentleman who decided he was going to donate a plaque to Mayberry, and his letter basically says, instead of donating a plaque, I found this cannon that was in the Civil War, and I was on San Juan Hill, and they realized that Milford bought the cannon back from the gentleman that Andy sold it to, and the gentleman actually used some of Andy's lies to sell it to Mr. Phillips, and so now they've got the cannon again. So again, a cute little episode there. The person that plays Ralph Mason in this episode, some of you may look at him as a very familiar face. He appeared in many television and movie roles. Believe it or not, and here's a good little piece of trivia for you, he was the original Ward Cleaver in the pilot episode of Leave It to Beaver. And now this pilot episode was named It's a Small World, and it aired in April of 1957. Of course, Hugh Beaumont was later selected to play Ward Cleaver for the actual series. Casey Adams' real name is Mark Showalter, and time to time you'll see his name on a screen credited about that. And they also think that he wrote the first television musical, Time for Love, which aired on NBC back in 1939. Some other interesting episodes, parts of this episode that you might think about is there's a scene where Barney comes in and says, for $15, Charlie Ross will take the cannon. And he says, well, go ahead, just take the $15, and Barney says, no, says we have to pay him $15. And so, unloading the cannon was not going to be an easy thing. Another aspect of this episode that I thought was funny is Barney gets mad at the post office because they installed a postage stamp machine, and he doesn't like it because he says it looks like a slot machine. And Andy's getting a kick out of this, but Barney said he was so mad that he wrote a letter to the postmaster. But he said, I didn't mail it. And Andy said, well, why didn't you mail it? He said, because I'm not buying a stamp for that slot machine. So again, a really funny part of the episode. Another little episode, Opie has a great line here, and he's explaining to Andy about how he's going to sell the licorice seeds, and Opie basically says, well, I'm not going to tell them that their licorice seeds would actually grow. He says, I'm just not going to tell them that they wouldn't. So again, Opie had obviously learned a little bit of horse trading in his young little life. Some other interesting things about this episode that I think you might want to know is that in this episode, Barney is actually a member of the town council, yet in earlier episodes he wasn't a member. So again, that seems to be very interesting. So again, another good episode. Now, for the trivia question, here it is. Barney drinks how many root beer floats near the end of the episode? And of course, it upsets his stomach. He gets a bellyache, and he's drinking these root beer floats because he's upset at Andy. And the way they play this scene off in the Andy Griffith Show is really quite funny. It's like Barney makes statements to make it sound like an alcoholic would make, or somebody drinking beer in a bar. But basically, Barney drinks several root beer floats. So the trivia question is, how many root beer floats does Barney drink when he gets upset at Andy's dishonest trading practice? Now, again, you can email me your answer to this trivia question at burkek@etsu.edu, or you can go to my website, burkonmayberry.com, and you'll find the answer posted there. I haven't done this in a couple of podcasts. I want to go ahead and talk a little bit about some more of the supporting characters on the Andy Griffith Show. And one of the most beloved characters was Howard McNair. And I mentioned in earlier episodes that there was actually two people that played Floyd the Barber. But Howard McNair was the character that came on the second time that Floyd the Barber appeared. And again, the Andy Griffith Show never explained why they changed Floyd the Barbers. Although if you read the book, The Andy Griffith Show by Richard Kelly, they explain that the first Floyd the Barber just, you know, was very nervous at doing his scene. And Howard McNair was just absolutely funny, and I've heard Andy Griffith talk about scenes that they've had to shoot over and over and over again because Floyd was so funny they couldn't keep a straight face. But anyway, Howard McNair stayed with the show, came in the first year, and he stayed with the show until he died in 1967. Some people think that Floyd the Barber was one of the finest comic characterizations in television. Howard McNair was born in Los Angeles. He studied at the Oatman School of Theater. He worked at a stock company in San Diego for several years, but he became a radio actor. And he was actually Doc in the Hollywood version of Gunsmoke from 1952 to 1961. And he's played in motion pictures. I've seen him actually do some pictures with Elvis Presley. And he was really primarily a dramatic actor until, you know, his flair for comedy came about when he was on the George Gobel Show. And he was also, he did some comedy with Jack Benny as well. He was a leading man in San Diego theater, and he really hadn't done much comedy until, till later on. But Howard Menier was supposedly a nervous man, and what he did was he took that nervousness and he made it Floyd the Barber. Now, what you'll see in many episodes is that later on you'll see that his mannerisms slow down. He's very fast-moving. I'm talking about his hands, his speech, and everything. But there came a time when Howard McNair actually had a stroke, and he was off the show for about two years. And then one day the writers were sitting around, and the producers were saying, "I really wish we had Howard back." So one of them said, "Why don't we just call him and see if we can get him back?" So right then, they called up Howard's house, and they got his wife, Helen. She says, "Oh, gosh, it would be a great thing for him." So one of the things about Howard McNair was paralyzed all down his left side. So the episode, if you watch him, you don't see Howard walking anymore once he had a stroke. What you'll see is he might show Howard, say, "Hey, Andy." They'll go to the courthouse door, and Howard got his head stuck in the door. And then the camera will go back to Andy or Barney in the episode, and then when he comes back to Howard, he'll already be sitting down. And at times when you see him standing, they built a stand that supported him, you know, to keep him up. And so once all of that happened, he was with them for about another 2 years again until he died in 1967. And again, people said he was a very, very kind man and one that they enjoyed really working with. Again, I thought you might enjoy hearing that little characterization, although somewhat a little bit sad story. But fortunately, we can watch Howard McNair as Floyd the Barber for years upon years, and thank goodness to DVD, we can watch it whenever we want to. Again, I hope you're enjoying Burke on Mayberry. Be sure to answer the trivia question. If you have any questions or comments, my email address again is burkek@etsu.edu. Thanks for listening, and as they would say in Mayberry, my best to you and yours.